we're in the war room. One of those areas in Martyrs that we use for our community connection project, the World War I tour. This reminds me of a statement in a gospel song. Didn't know that the war had been won. Many people still think reaching heaven, obtaining salvation, is all about what they do. So they're trying, working, doing something. But the Bible tells us all the work has already been done by Christ alone. On Calvary, he cried, "It is finished." Salvation was accomplished there. You need to come confessing your sin, trusting in his completed work, crying, "God be merciful to me, a sinner." Tonight, that message will be brought by Reverend Roger Higginson, speaking from Matthew chapter 7, by Phil Harton through his testimony. By the way, that's where the children's question will come from. And also by Malcolm Daly in the children's story.
As you can see on this lovely evening, and that's got me thinking, in the Bible, did you know that sheep are mentioned the most out of every other animal in the Bible? What else? I was thinking about a couple of things that we have in common with sheep. Just like each and every one of us are different, if you look at your family beside you, maybe your friends, neighbours, each and every one of us is different, and that's the same with these sheep. We're all different. That's the way God has designed us. We're all unique. The sheep are also followers. Where one sheep goes, the others follow as well. As you can see, if one jumped over a cliff, the others make follow, highly likely to follow after. And that's a bit like us. We tend to follow other people, we follow the crowds, even if that is going to be harmful to us. Sheep are also wanderers. They love to wander and go astray. They don't pay attention to where they are going, and maybe they're going to get lost. That is a bit like us. We wander too. Stay away from where we are going and wherever God wants us to do, where God has told us to go. But the good thing is for the sheep that they have a shepherd. That shepherd has come to rescue them and to bring them home. We also have a shepherd to rescue us and lead us home. And it says in the Bible, in the book of Isaiah, which is in the Old Testament, well done, it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He is telling us that Jesus was come to save the straying sheep. All of us like sheep have gone astray, but we have a shepherd to lead us home. And Jesus is that shepherd. Thank you.
We all have a story to tell. And my story commenced the way up there in the north coast, Portrush. Eventually, as a family, we moved then to the fishing village of Portafogie. Grew up there in Portafogie, a loving family, two sisters, Cherry and Rachel. And I thought I better give them a mention. They would do your head in, you know. Growing up in the village, then secondary school, going on then to apprenticeship in engineering. And those were days where I was just running about searching for the pleasures of this world, see what this world could offer me, and not bothering to think about the things that my mum and dad had taught me, faithful Sunday school teachers. To cut a long story short, get into a relationship with Sharon. God was speaking to me. How do I know God was speaking to me? I would put my head on the pillow at night, and I knew that with all the things that this world was giving me, I still didn't have a peace in my heart. And I knew someday that I would stand before God. That's a fact. Life, the journey of our lives will end someday in this world. I talked to Stephen Smith, Sharon's brother, and he simply opened the Word of God and reminded me of John 3:16. And it was that night that I came to an end of myself. I trusted the Lord to save me, and he changed my life. I realised that Jesus had died on the cross, that he took the punishment that I deserved. And that night, crossroads in my life, God gave me the grace to trust him. And I thank him from the bottom of my heart for what God has done. Well, we've moved on our journey here, and we're at the river now. And you can see in the river behind us, a little reminder of maybe our lives and the twists and turns. Sometimes it's peaceful, all seems to be going well as we planned it out, and then life can take a bit of a change. And this river here, you can see how it turns around a corner here and twists and weaves its way. And you know, God's plan for our lives, you know, is not exactly the same as our plan. God has a bigger and a better plan for our lives, even though at times that can be tremendously difficult. But I want to encourage you today that wherever you're at in your life, that the greatest thing to have is the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. Sharon and I look back in our lives and we can see how God helped us and guided us. You know, I was in engineering for about 15 years. God was stirring us up to move from that. And I remember reading Psalm 37 and the verse 4 and 5. Those little verses were really challenging me personally about committing our way to the Lord, not trusting in our own path and going our own way, even in the Christian life, but to trust everything to the Lord. You know, financially secure, to give that up, it challenges us. And so that's what God was calling us to do. And he was also calling us to go and work full time for him. At this stage in life, we've been working alongside many great young people and leaders there in the Reach in Portadown in our church. We're volunteering time there. But God was calling us to go a little further. And, you know, I remember applying for a couple of jobs, opportunities that come up to do the work that we were feeling God was calling us to do. And it didn't seem to happen for a long time. And yet we had this wonderful promise to delight ourselves in the Lord, and he would give us the desires of our heart. But, you know, through it all, God teaches us patience. Maybe you're feeling God has called you to something, and you're reading the Word of God, and God's speaking to you. And it doesn't seem as if it's happening. You know, wait on the Lord. Have patience. He can help you through. And that was a good time that I look back to in life. But you know, life was going to take a turn And eventually we started working for Dickie and Janice Barr, and what a great encouragement they were to us at this particular time in our life when everything seemed to be changing, and just like behind us, and things were changing. You know, there was times when we struggled. You know, God was faithful and he was with us. We look back to many people in our lives that have been there during the twists and turns of our lives. I think Chris and Linda, who set up a little outreach many years ago, and there were many young people that got involved in that all those years ago. So we thank God for the twists and turns of our lives, but we thank God for his hand with us, and he brought people across our path to encourage us. And I trust that God will encourage you. Just keep praying. God will bring you through. Even through this time of the whole worldwide pandemic, coronavirus, much fear, much has changed. Many things in our lives have changed. Everything that we once thought was normal, now we're self-distancing and all sorts of things. But you know, God can bring us through. He's the one that will be with you. And through all the changing times of life, we think about Footprints in the Sand. It's a poem that I love. A poem simply reminds us that there's times in our lives as we look back, we only seem to see one set of footprints. And we wonder, dear God, where were you in all of that time in our lives? But that's the time that we realise, as we look back, that there's a time that God carried us. And he's carrying us through. And whatever you're going through today, I can testify today that God will carry you through. God will help you. And he will be your guide through the journey of your life. So may God bless you today. Thank you for listening, and I thank God for all the opportunities he's given us in Belfast, and little opportunities for mission teams and various other things we could never imagine as we look forward all those years ago, what God could do with our lives. We are nobodies, but yet God loves to take the nobodies and to use them for his eternal plan.
Consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder. Thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. That God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross my burden gladly bearing, He bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Well, thank you so much for joining us in this time of gospel mission. Thank the Reverend Brown for the invitation to be part of this. And most of all, we thank you for joining in. It is our prayer that if you do not know the Savior, and you don't have purpose in life, and you've no assurance in death, and you're not a Christian, that the Lord will speak to you through this message and through the rest of the messages during this time of gospel mission. I want to read from Matthew's Gospel in chapter 7. It's the greatest sermon that was ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, preached by the greatest man who ever lived, who came into this world to meet the greatest need of the human heart. And in Matthew 7 and verse number 13, the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be which find it." You know, there are many places in this world that I would not choose to live. I would not choose to live in Istanbul in Turkey, because that city is situated on a great fault line. And if there was an earthquake, and they predict an earthquake imminently, multitudes, maybe even millions of people could lose their lives in a moment of time. It's a perilous place to live. Death Valley in the state of Nevada is the lowest point on earth below sea level. Highest temperatures, therefore, very little water. It would be a very perilous place to live. That's why nobody lives there. Snake Island, locals call it, off the coast of Brazil, estimates say that for every 5 to 10 square meters, there is at least one venomous snake. And therefore, nobody lives in the island because it's a very dangerous or perilous place to live. The beautiful city of Naples in Italy is nevertheless surrounded by several volcanoes. And if any of those volcanoes was to erupt, it would be impossible to evacuate the city. So while it's a very picturesque city, it's also a very dangerous or perilous city. And then in Venezuela, San Pedro Sula, because of drugs, because of the armed race, because of prostitution, it's noted as being the murder capital of the world. I wouldn't want to live there. But you know, there's a more perilous place than all of these places put together. And it's the broad road that leads to destruction. Multitudes are on it. Millions of people in our world tonight are living in the most perilous place on planet Earth. Without God, without salvation, without a Savior, maybe you're one of them. I want to give you 6 reasons why the broad road is the most perilous place on planet Earth. First of all, because those who live there have an unforgiven past behind them. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3:15, God requireth that which is past. And we all have a guilty past. We have all said things and done things and thought things and gone places and went down roads that we wish we had never gone down. All of us have got skeletons in the closet. But the only difference between a Christian and a non-Christian in that respect is a Christian's past is forgiven. The Bible speaks about Jesus dying on a cross for the remission of sins that are past. He breaks the power of cancelled sin. But the non-Christian has a past that is still on record. And your sin one day will find you out. An unforgiven past behind you. An unhappy God above you. God is many things. He's love. He's true. He's good. He's merciful. He's gracious. He's righteous. He's powerful. He's all-knowing. But the Bible says he's angry with the wicked every single day. And God sees the imaginations of the thoughts of our hearts, that they are only evil continually. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ said, he that believeth not is condemned already. Under the wrath and the condemnation and judgment of God, how does God see you today? Have you got an unforgiven past behind you? An unhappy God above you? And then an unending hell beneath you? That's why the broad road is such a perilous place. Isaiah 14:9 speaks about Lucifer, son of the morning, and it says, hell from beneath thee is moved to meet thee at thy coming, an unending hell beneath you. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. But all who go their way and go the way of the world and follow the God of this world and die in their sins will be cut off from God forever. In this awful place that Jesus Christ spoke about more than any other preacher in the Bible, hell itself, outer darkness, the place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. What an awful reality. What an awful eternity. All of the historical creeds, whether they be Presbyterian, Episcopalian, Methodist or Baptist, they all speak about hell. They all speak about judgment. And those who are on the broad road are in the most perilous place on planet Earth. Unforgiven past behind them. Unhappy God above them. Unending hell beneath them. Unstable props all around them. I wonder today what your hope is. The only thing worse than having no hope is having a false hope. And the Bible says in Proverbs that the expectation or the hope of the wicked shall perish. Many people put their hope in themselves. Many people put their hope or their expectation in public opinion, what's everybody else doing? Or in their church or in their religion or in their morality or good works or creed or baptism. Or they hope that the Bible's wrong and they hope that the crowd is right. Or they hope maybe in a universal salvation. Everybody now gets buried like a Christian. But those are unstable props, false expectations. And we have them all around us. The Bible says, put your trust in God. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. And then the broad road is the most perilous place on planet Earth because you've got an uncertain future before you. Proverbs 27:1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We have been reminded very vividly recently just how unstable and how unsure and how uncertain our footing is in this world. Everything can change in a moment. We've all been locked down now. We didn't expect that several months ago, but it's happened. Multitudes have got up this morning, but they'll never see the light of another day. All we can be sure of in life is it's appointed unto man once to die. We have an uncertain future before us. Another hour, another day could change everything for you as regards time and as regards eternity. You're in a perilous place. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. The broad road is the most perilous place on planet Earth. An unforgiven past behind you. An unhappy God above you. An unending hell beneath you. Unsecure props all around you. An uncertain future before you. An unsaved soul within you. Your soul is the real you. The seat of the emotions. the will, the intellect, the personality. You are much more than just flesh and bones and chemicals. You are a real person with a real soul. And that soul will live for all eternity in one of two places. Jesus Christ said, one human soul is worth more than all of the accumulated wealth in the entire world, because it's eternal. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Judas gave 30 pieces of silver. It was worthless. Some of you are giving a lot less than that. Maybe you're living for yourself, for your reputation. You're living in fear. You're living for pleasure. And you're dead while you live. The Bible says the redemption of their soul is precious. And Jesus Christ our Lord shed his precious blood for the redemption of the soul. The Broadway is the most perilous place on planet Earth. But by contrast, the narrow way is the safest place on planet Earth. The Broadway is perilous because it's comfortable, it's respectable, and it's popular, and many people travel at an ease with us. But the narrow way is the way of the cross. The way that leads home is the way of the cross. And you must come to the cross, where the Savior suffered and bled and died, and take your place there and acknowledge your guilt and repent of your sin and trust in and believe and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and begin to live for him. And then you will be able to say that behind me, rather than an unforgiven past, I've got goodness and mercy that follow me. I've got a Father now above me who's no longer angry but looks upon me with favor. All around me, I've got the everlasting arms. Underneath, I've got the everlasting arms. Before me, I've got the hope of heaven and home. And within me, I've got a soul that's saved. What will you do today? Where are you? God said to Adam, Adam, where art thou? Where are you today in the road of life? Are you in the broad road? The most perilous place on planet Earth? With the rest of the crowd, with the multitudes? Or will you come today to the cross and repent of your sin? That means turn from it and receive Christ into your heart and life by faith and enter into newness of life. The safest and most blessed place on planet Earth is in the hollow of his hand, and then one day a glorious home in heaven. God bless you all. Thank you for listening. Trust Christ today.
Oh, sinner, the Savior is calling for thee. Long, long has he called thee.
Great mercy. Reach out to souls who are on the broad way to destruction. Bring them onto the narrow way to life, to light, and to liberty. In Jesus' name. Amen. The children's question. I'm sure you've guessed it. What colour is Phil Harton's dog? Thanks again for tuning in. If you have concerns about your soul, about the great eternity, don't delay. Seek Christ for mercy and feel free to contact me at any time.